And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
We got a problem with silverfish.
Oh, that's a...
I know. It's a great gold. Oh, I will explain that one here in a moment. First of all, here we are, episode 399. Most podcasts in America do not, actually worldwide, do not get past episode 10. Here we are at episode 399, and we've got a little surprise for those, a little treat for those of you who are here with us on the audio version. If you're listening to it on a podcast app, we have a little Big Town interview, super crazy story about Kimberly in concert right before Stevie Nicks, just crazy. That'll be at the end after the closing jingle. Stick around for that. As we're coming to you from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio, O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. If you love music, got to tell you again, you got to get the Pickle Jar app. Pickle Jar is so cool because it's an app that allows you to tip. And I know you go, yeah, I can do that. I got all these other apps. No, it's different because this is like custom made for the artist. If you give $10 to a band, let's say you're tipping in a bar, that $10, all of that $10 goes to the band, the artist, that person. So it's not like it's, you know, they're only getting a fraction of it and all that kind of stuff. So Pickle Jar is pretty cool. It supports great causes in your hometown as well. So wherever you are, wherever you're living, you can do cool things and fundraise through there. Plus, you can watch exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else. So download today for your Apple or your Droid at picklejar.com. $399, dude.
Yeah, that's a lot, man.
Wow. We got a problem with silverfish.
That was...
do you know that what that is?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's Bubba's... this is your first candid phone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Prank phone call?
So, yeah, we used to do a lot of... that's basically all we did back in the day was candid phones is, you know, like prank calls where, you know, you just call people and people would call up and go, hey, my brother works at blah, blah, blah. Can you call him and say... yeah, okay, cool. And we would do that. And I forgot what it was. Somebody was a pest control person or whatever. And... it was my first one I'd ever done, and that was what I was doing. I was saying we had a problem with silverfish.
We got a problem with silverfish.
And then whenever we formed our company, we had to speak about it in public around people that we were going to not be working with.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept referring. We were like, what are we going to call the company so we can openly talk about it? We need like a project something or other. And we ended up, it was Project Silverfish because we're like, oh, that's the dumbest thing ever. Nobody will ever put two and two together that we're making a company. And then we ended up naming the company Silverfish. But it ended up having multiple meanings because the Silverfish referred to the first candid that I did, the first prank call I did with Big D. But it also... it was like the craziest thing. During that year that we were trying to form our company, during that time that we were trying to really have a new beginning and try to figure out how to make this whole thing work, we were like relying heavy on prayer. And you know the little silver fish that you see on people's trunk of their car?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little Jesus fish?
Jesus fish.
So it kind of was like we ended up taking those. We're like, hey, silver fish. You know, so we put those up in the studio on each side and actually mounted them to the furniture. It was great. I'm hoping they're still there at that other place. But we ended up, Silverfish took on its whole little name. And then we're like, you know, let's just name the company Silverfish.
And here we are.
And nice. Here we are.
Nice.
I did get that right, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was funny because you, the best part of that, is you, when you called, he put a plastic cup where you have pins and stuff in. And he took it and he would shake it.
Listen to the silverfish.
You can hear him in the wall. And he put it in and he was going. And she goes, oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my.
That's terrible.
Yeah, anyway.
We'll have to pull that one out of the archives one day and play it on the air.
You know the thing with the prank phone calls, it had its run for a while and then it just kind of. Like people, you know, people change. The audience kind of changes. Well,
It's not that they change. It's just people get sue happy nowadays. And that's what happened is now when you hear a prank call on any other show but ours, because I will tell you this, ours are real. Theirs are all fake. And it's the same thing like with the War of the Roses and all that.
Oh yeah.
You know, who's going to get the roses?
Second date update.
Yeah, all that stuff. That's all fake.
Uh-huh.
And it's all like these services that have actors and actresses that play the parts. And we never did that.
Do people, are they still doing that?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yep, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in a radio group on Facebook, and there's always a battle about it. It pops up every 4 to 5 months where you have people like me who think War of the Roses is stupid. And then you have the people that are like, no, it's still a good bit. The audience loves it. And yeah, so it just becomes contentious. And
Was it Kid who did that first? D?
What part first?
The War of the Roses thing. Wasn't he the one?
Maybe. I think so. Because that was an actual bit.
Right. He did it like for real.
For real. Yeah. because I stole it one time. Because I was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah. When stuff is real, great. But it got to the point where obviously people have taken it. And like you said, there are these services that provide it. And there's some of us who, I think the way that we work, and I go, we're all friends. We sit in a studio. And look, if we have a telemarketer call, have fun with them, right? Because that's 100% legit. But when you're faking it this much, like, man, do you honestly think people can't tell?
Oh, to me, it's so obvious.
It's really obvious. But a lot of people don't get it. It's the same thing like if you remember the deer crossing prank call that went around several years back on YouTube and all that. Do you remember the deer crossing? Okay, so it's somebody calling like the highway department and they're mad because they put up a deer crossing sign. People keep hitting deer. And it's all because you put the sign here because the deer know to cross the road right here. I'm so angry. Yeah, why wouldn't you put that in a lesser used road? It's like,
I mean, it's a fine joke to do as a one-time throwaway kind of deal and kind of a
right.
But man, and it just keeps going on and on.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
When I was a kid, one radio station I listened to did this. It's a little PG-13, but basically they would have a wife call the husband at work and convince him to come home for lunch.
Oh, I remember those.
And it took me until I was, you know, this age to go, oh my gosh, those were all fake. But the problem was I was like 8 in the car.
Yeah.
So I totally believed in it. And looking back going, really? Like, come on, man. Yeah, that was. And I guess maybe it was entertaining for people that were listening. As a kid, most of it went over my head, but.
Oh, don't think we haven't faked anything, though. We have. Yeah. We'll tell you. We have absolutely faked stuff. We did this thing where we were doing More Power for Sue and Dave, and we climbed the radio tower or something like that to crank up our wattage.
Yeah, but that was faked all it was, that. I know, but it was obviously fake. Like it was.
Yeah, I know, but like I don't want anybody.
You fell 300 feet and then landed and then.
In hay.
Yeah. That's so great. I mean, we were making this. So we're making it, and so yeah, the scene goes. It's at night, and Bubba wants to climb up the tower and increase the power. You know, we're not supposed to do this. And you know, I'm over there going, Bubba, don't do this. Don't. And he's like from a distance going, and that it was redneck Bubba then, and it was like, no man, hey, they want more power. We're gonna give more power.
No, the line is. Sue and Dave want more power.
Sue and Dave get more power. And then he's doing this, and then he falls. And, dude, I can still see you in that production room with that gigantic. Remember that? It was like a board for, like, concerts.
Yeah, it was
enormous.
It was a music live venue concert production board.
Oh, wow. Carson, it went from here to, like.
Yeah.
It was, like, 12 feet wide.
It was crazy. Like, you had to stand up if you wanted to, like, you couldn't.
It was 119 channels.
It was insane.
I mean, like, you look at my board here. I have, like, you know, 15 pot. We call them pot sliders. Yeah. This thing was, like, 100 and something. Yeah.
And man, so, anyway, and he's making this. And I remember you going to do the
sound of the fall.
The sound of him falling. He needed his voice to, even though voices is mono, he still created the illusion by by going, ah, and he kind of does, he kind of fell like with the mic, and it sounded great. And
then I also there's that did thud. Stereo panning too.
Yep, yep.
You I was did. Like, ah,
yeah, and you can hear,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome though.
And then
so dumb.
You, and then at the end, we're like, yeah, you know what we need is there should be like a dog or a cow moo, like it's completely silent.
You hear the boom,
he's dead, and it's quiet, and you hear the crickets, and then you hear.
You know, see, I still love that kind of stuff, though, when it comes to radio. I love when there's production and there's thought, which to me, I get it. You're faking it. You didn't jump off a tower.
Yeah, but everyone, I was obviously we didn't. Yeah.
Right. But I still think that's so much more fun than just a like second date update. We're going to get him on the phone. There's no effort in that.
No. And the
I
way
love
it works.
The creativity, and that is not it.
Well, back in our day, before the second date update and the War of the Roses and all, it was the Barney Fife stuff. Remember that?
Oh, God. The knocking on the door.
They'd be like,
opening up the door.
Oh, Barney's here. Come on in. Hey, it's me. You hear like the feet clopping. And then he's like, hey, and comes in and he says one quick joke. Right, see you later, bye. And you hear the door slam behind him. God. And that was like, that's what radio was doing
I
back
then. I used to have
day.
To do that as part of the NBC tour, that we would bring you into a room at the beginning of the tour and you'd watch this 6-minute video talking to you about how NBC started with radio and went into television and look at the color and whatever. But leading into the video, we're restarted in radio. Let's play some sound effects for you. And we'd get out all sorts of little gizmos. And one of them was, it looked like just, it was two pieces of wood that smacked together. And we're like, does anybody know what that sound is? Let me add a little bit more mood for you. And then we'd have a crowd exploding. And the whole point was, it was a baseball bat. It's the crack of a bat, and people paid $45 for this, and I'm very sorry.
Well, Foley artists, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. And back in the old days of radio, they would have usually one or two guys who were sitting on the side, and while they were doing a radio play, it would say thunder cracks, and you'd have them with a sheet of metal, and just shaking it around or whatever.
Did you ever watch the movie Radio Days? It's a Woody Allen movie, which I understand.
I
right
think
there
that's why
could
I
turn
didn't watch
you.
It.
It's fair. I've watched it since I was a kid, before we knew he was a creep. But it's still one of my favorite movies, and it's all about his love for radio in the 1930s. And it goes back and forth between him being a kid in Rockaway in New York and being in Manhattan. And you see how these radio shows are made. So there's so much with the Foley artists and the voice artists, and it's fascinating from that point of view looking at the time period, even though, yes, it's Woody Allen, I understand. But it talks a lot about the creative process and the theater of the mind, which
his
I adore.
Movies are just, they drone for me. This, I've tried to watch a couple
this
of them.
This one is unlike the rest of his. It's vignettes. It's straight up vignettes from the 1930s, the very early 40s,
so
I guess.
So it doesn't drag on?
No, it's a bunch of very quick stories. Some are about his family in Brooklyn. Some of it is, again, the radio shows that it's legends that he heard as a kid about. At the time, radio people were their celebrities, that they were larger than life. And he had collected radio stories and he brought them to the screen. So there's one about a woman who gets stuck on the roof of what's supposed to be like the Copacabana, a very fancy social club. And the fallout of, it turns out she's having an affair with a guy and the wife finds out, but it's celebrity gossip, but it's celebrity gossip from back then, and it's all played out. And then it's, you know, his family listening to the radio. He talks about his aunt who is obsessed with a ventriloquist on the radio, and it drove his uncle crazy because it's the radio.
Oh, that's Big D.
Yeah.
That is Big D. Big D despises when we have ventriloquists on the radio.
So dumb.
I mean, I love it. I man, you know me. I'm a huge Jeff Dunham fan.
Right,
I like all those guys. And Jeff will come in here into the studio and he'll bring Walter and everybody. And D's like, why do you bring them in here? Nobody's watching you. You could just say the voices. And he's like, no, I have to do it. That's their joke.
Wow.
It's great. But
you just made my point for me.
No, it's interesting because
I have to. It's their joke.
Those characters can say the joke.
It's the Dalt joke, so you have to have the Dalt. What?
Those characters can say the joke because nowadays, especially, that's such a safety net. I didn't say the joke. The puppet did.
Yeah, but he's sitting next to us on the radio. Like, if we can tell people, oh, the puppet's here.
Also, try that in court. I didn't say it. Earl here said it. What's the old man's name again?
Walter.
Walter did it. He said it. Well, okay. No,
Dude, there's something to it, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's great on stage, and you're going to do that, but...
Right, but it's the radio.
It doesn't really bother me. I get it. It's funny to poke, you know, fun at them, whatever. Did you see that they are... we were talking about this off the air, but the line to just to see the casket of the queen is 5 miles long. Did you see the one of the guards fell out?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like passed out, yeah. Like face planted.
Yeah, well, he's broke that nose. Oof. For sure. Yeah, I guess standing that long, you know, your legs, you know, the blood pools down low and it gets out of your head, leaves your
head. They always say, don't lock your knees.
Yeah.
Somebody locked his knees.
I mean, they're doing, it's 24 hours, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I think some people said they waited up to 30.
But I mean, it's open 24 hours.
Oh, open. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's a continuous, whatever, 4 times 24 is, because they're doing it for four days.
You think she's in there?
I wondered about that.
Because it's closed, right?
Yeah. Theater of the mind.
Yeah.
It's a casket with a flag on top.
It's basically War of the Roses.
I would think, no, I don't think it is. I don't think she's in there currently. I think whenever it's time to actually bury the body, that will be...
You know why, too? They're very careful. Every news outlet is talking about people lining up to see the casket, to see the coffin. And I understand we're not seeing the queen because it's not open. But the fact that they keep using those words over and over, instead of just saying, oh, you're going to see the queen.
Okay.
And
I'll you think they know? I don't think they know.
I just think that might be...
No, but I think they're being careful with it.
Yeah.
That might be the official wordage that was given to them by...
That it was passed down from the family, from the official press releases.
Because I've had nightmares. I mean, I've had to carry caskets a couple times, and it's... horrible, because the pressure is on you of don't drop it, don't let it slip, whatever. And I'm going to say something right now to casket manufacturers. Stop it with the shiny, slick wood. Holy crud. I had to do a funeral in the heat of the summer with shiny, slick wood. So you're sweating up a storm.
Yeah,
and
it's sliding out of your hands.
It's sliding out of your hands. And you're just like, man. And then the panic sets in, so you start to sweat even more.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you guys think the body is?
I think it's still in Scotland, or it was, it had left Scotland immediately, like at night, and they, you know, never had her there.
Yeah, I think it's in England for sure.
And also, let's just think about okay. So the body's going to decompose.
Right.
You're not going to for 10 days. It's on ice. It's on. It's cooled and being, you know, in a safe place in a medical facility.
Back in the old days, they would. Do that though, like, because they have their process, the 10-day thing. So think about, let's say in the 1500s, 1600s, they would leave that body out in state for almost 2 weeks.
But again, you're talking 1500s, 1600s, people smelled. That was a whole different odor happening on the planet.
Imagine how bad Henry VIII must have smelled.
Yeah.
Because everybody talked about how bad he smelled because he had that leg injury that was festering. So imagine how bad that dude stunk.
Right.
If in the 1500s, people are going, you stink.
It is. I just look at people who, you know, maybe if they were lucky, they got to bathe in used bathwater once every 2 weeks. I think they had a whole different capacity.
Or month.
For odors.
Very famous story of Abraham Lincoln, and when he was being shown around the country, he had a tour on train, and so people would come by and see the body, and they talked about how by the, you know, so many days into it, like, his nose was, you know, falling off. And there's only one picture of it, and you can see him, and it looks like he's decomposing right there in front, and people would still come by, and they would have to cover their mouths because it was so grotesque and smelly and, you know.
Oof.
And then, pretty crazy.
I'm looking that up. I want
to. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Train.
Train. Death train picture.
Wow.
See if that pulls up. There's I think there's just one picture taken, and it was discovered not too long ago in some archives. And people are like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah. The pictures I'm seeing are of the train itself, or their cartoons.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm on a webpage, and it's the adventures of Abraham Lincoln's corpse.
Wow.
The Adventures.
The Adventures.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really want to see it that bad, but it's just crazy. Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln's body to the public. Here, I'm on it now. And then, do you know they went and exhumed him?
Really? No.
They
why?
Moved him because, yeah, they were having, again, because he was polarizing at the time. He was, Abraham Lincoln was the Donald Trump of his time. He was loved and hated. There was nobody in the middle on Abraham Lincoln. So people were vandalizing. There were vandals at his, weren't they trying to take the body? Like they were trying to steal his body.
Yeah, right. So in 1901, Lincoln's body was exhumed so it could be reinterred in a newly built crypt. However, several of the 23 people present feared that his body might have been stolen in the intervening years, so they decided to open the coffin and check. A harsh choking smell arose and the casket was open. Lincoln was perfectly recognizable more than 30 years after his death. Gold color on his face from unhealed bruises. Wow. His face. Yeah. So, oh, wow. The gunshot wound shattered the bones in his face and damaged his tissue. His hair, beard, and mole were all perfectly preserved.
Although
his eyebrows were gone. Mm. His suit was covered in a yellow mold and gloves had rotted on his hands. On his chest, you could see some bits of red fabric, remnants of the American flag, which he was buried with, which had then disintegrated. Wasn't that fun? You guys like that?
I was watching a clip a few weeks ago. That old show from, I think it was like the 50s, To Tell the Truth or something like that, or I've Got a Secret. And there was a guy on who had been present at Lincoln's assassination. Hmm. He was 8 years old. And something about he didn't call it a babysitter because that wasn't the word back then. Mm-hmm. But basically his babysitter had taken him to the play for the night. It was him and I want to say a sibling. And he remembers seeing John Wilkes Booth jump, but he didn't quite understand. It's a kid. He's in the theater. He just knew that he sees this guy make this massive leap and he thinks it's part of the play. And then all chaos just breaks loose. And here he is all these years later, and the guy's like 90-something at that point. But it was so weird to think that even in the 50s, somebody who was witness to one of the biggest moments in our history was still alive.
Well, think about, you know, I mean, we have people that are still alive right now that were in the middle of World War II. And when you when you go back and watch those old World War II documentary videos and things like that, you realize exactly how much has changed in the world. I mean, we were barely any better in the 40s than we were in the 20s, you know, and to think of, I mean, that's almost, what is it, 80 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Yeah. Also on the Abraham Lincoln thing, I would like to send a shout out to whoever wrote the book, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. The movie is one of my favorite movies, and I wish that they would make a movie out of the sequel, because the sequel book is 10 times better than the original. And I never, ever, ever would say that about a book if it wasn't true. I'm telling you, Abraham Lincoln, I forget what the name of the second book is, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, the second one, just incredible.
Do you guys know about Lincoln's pillow? The pillow from Willie Clark's bed at the Peterson House. That's where they took him after the assassination, and the doctors were working on him. He was unconscious, and they tried to make him comfortable. They laid him. He's too tall for the bed because he's really tall. Mm-hmm. And they laid him diagonally across it, and they covered his legs and feet with hot blankets and then cushioned his head with pillows. But they kept his wound open throughout the night, pulling out blood clots to relieve the pressure on his brain. This pillow is now bloodstained with President Lincoln's blood on it. So
where's it at? They still have it?
Yeah, it's on this. Where is this? It's so it's a Ford's Theater. It's it's in Washington D.C. as a museum, and you can go and see it there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never been. I've been in front of Ford's Theater. I've never actually been inside. And I heard it's really cool because it's basically exactly the way it was that day.
Mm. Oh, wow. So when he died, Willie Clark, so that's his house. He wrote to his sister, quote, "The same mattress on my bed, the same cover covers me nightly that covered President Lincoln while he died." So they kept using the same blanket?
Nobody could get this man a different blanket.
What? He was the president.
Yeah, that's fine. No. You want to keep it, but I don't need to wrap myself in...
Wow. Yeah, get you a new blanket.
Oh, wait, there, you're saying the person? I was reading all this other stuff, and I was looking at pictures.
No, the guy's house.
He was still sleeping with the blanket?
Yeah, yes. The blanket that was covered Lincoln. And, you know, he died, and so he kept the blanket, and he's still using it. What the heck?
Man, that is some straight up...
Willie's hardcore.
Right? Like...
Still using it. Yeah, I'm going to use a good blanket.
That is...
That's like our dads. That's a good blanket.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's an announcement.
Have you seen the guy that was trying to peddle the picture that he claimed was a picture of Lincoln on his deathbed? Uh-uh. And it was this whole thing. I might have watched a 2-hour documentary about it, but he claimed it was somehow a photographer managed to sneak in the room while Lincoln was dying at some point overnight. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to say it's authentic. He's looking for millions of dollars. And every expert came out and said, no, there's no way the president of the United States, who's dying from a gunshot wound to the head, was ever left unattended. Mm-hmm. So somebody could come in and set up a camera.
Which back then they took
would take
forever.
10 minutes to snap. Like, how really? And people are going, I guess they think he just did it to make a documentary. Because they said there's no way this guy could ever think that A, it would be legitimate, and B, anybody would ever pay.
People are stupid.
Not.
I actually am going to side on people are stupid, and they thought, I bet I could get away with this.
I mean, like, if you were selling it for like $30, maybe, but this guy's looking for millions. Of course it's going to be.
Yeah, I've been checking out all these. There's a bunch of fake photos of him in the caskets.
Yeah.
These are wild.
Did you see that, Patrick, where his body, he was on that tour, the train tour?
Yeah.
And his face was like his
I've
body.
I've heard that. I've also heard that that's fake.
They actually found a real, in the archives, they found a picture. There's only one.
I'm here to correct a few things.
Oh, no. Patrick, he's not been here. And then all of a sudden walked in.
And let's see. The only thing you got wrong about Silverfish is that it was Operation Silverfish.
We got a problem with Silverfish.
That we started talking about in the hallways of our
old project.
Job.
Okay.
Yes, Operation Silverfish.
Oh, it's live. I'm an idiot. Okay.
Yeah, live on
I was like, how are you doing that? How did you know that?
What?
Is this how live streaming works?
Yeah.
Is this the YouTube?
How do you Google-ish?
And I'm the one who said, I feel like we should name the company Silverfish. And the first reaction was, oh, gosh, no. And then it was like immediately, well, because you know what? Yeah. We were so used to calling it that. We've been calling it Silverfish at that point.
I love that you came in to take credit.
Oh, yeah.
Just for that part. But I think you actually also came up with Project Silverfish, too.
How many laws did you break
trying to get here
as fast as you could?
He told the story and didn't mention me at all, like I wasn't even there. So
look at the cops are outside waiting for you.
Well, what am I supposed to? I didn't mention Big D either.
Yes, you did.
I said we. Okay. I never said Big D
also,
by name.
Also, the real reason I wanted to interject
I'm sorry, Patrick
is not
was
because
there,
of
everybody.
That. Yeah, it's not because of that. Hey, the real reason I wanted to interject is because the three of you, not one of you thought to, no one thought to say, why? Why would the Queen's body not be in the coffin? What do they have
because
to
they
gain
don't, I'll tell you exactly
by
why.
It not being
I
there.
Was going back to the slippery handles. They do not want an accident where they accidentally dump the body. It would be the worst travesty. I know, but it would be the worst travesty ever if they were to accidentally slip and something were to happen to that casket and the body were to come out.
You think that casket's going to open?
No, that's not the reason. He's just doing that because he had that experience one time. They're wearing gloves and all that stuff.
Dude, that's
it's,
that.
And it's
crazy.
Military precision. These guys have trained their whole lives for this.
It's a rotting body.
No, they embalm it. That body's been embalmed.
It's Schrodinger's
for days.
Queen.
Yeah.
Dudes.
Schrodinger's queen.
Bodies are heavy. Casket. Actually, let me go back.
Oh, my God.
Caskets so now we're are heavy.
Okay. So I'm going to go with, I think the queen's body is in the coffin like they say it is.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Yeah. I just don't see why. What would the benefit be?
What's the benefit of having it in there?
Yeah. I don't know. Because
it's all for show anyway.
All for show, man.
It is all for show.
Theater of the mind.
Oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, does
also War of the Roses sucks. Just want to bring that back up, just in case anyone actually thinks that is funny or legitimate. It's terrible.
You know, the thing is, we have good friends in radio that are really popular. They're syndicated, not in our format, but yeah. and I'm like, wow, y'all do.
You're
and the whole thing
that?
Is, you know, like we kind of keep it real. And I'm like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
Because you do this
and it's
stuff.
And it's old. It's an old bit. It's no, I mean, listen.
I don't even mind.
We do dumb stuff. And, you know, we do. And other radio people can get onto us for that. We do tasty tweets. It's dumb. It has a little song. That's pretty much all why we do it. Because
of the song.
Because
no,
the jingle.
Like it no, we did it because Becky asked us to. Becky
but
was
also,
like.
Also. The reason you keep doing it, too, is it's you guys reading jokes. That's all the tasty tweets are.
And it changes every day.
It's jokes. It changes every day.
And we do it one time.
I will say this. I hate that tasty tweets happens at the same time every day.
But
that's
part of the thing
that
people like
about it.
That's what
they want. I know. But, and there's so many people who tell us all the time, oh, I know if I'm late or if I'm early for work by when I hear the tasty tweets. Yep.
I had people texting today like, because we moved the Friday song. We don't play it the same time every Friday.
We don't. No.
And they're like, hey, I'm missing it. And, you know, where is it? And I'm like, well, it floats. It's not the same time. And we like that because it's not predictable. But also, you need some of that predictableness.
People like what they like. They like what they know. And,
we're not doing the same. We're not doing the same bit every hour for this. You know, the entire show. You know, we're not.
Tell me something about me.
Tell me something made of wood. And next hour, we'll have Carson tell us something that's made of wood. And then Patrick, you can tell us.
This toy boat from the 1800s is made of wood. It is.
Those bars on caskets, and they're slippery.
And they're slippery wood.
They're made of
but
wood.
But it's still wood.
Dang.
Washington's teeth.
Made of
oxen.
Tell me something
actually,
made of wood.
I don't think his teeth were made of wood. If I'm not mistaken, Washington's teeth were made of teeth.
Oh, my God. Bubba just went right.
I know, I did.
Just
I'm trying to be.
It actually sings.
This is what we do.
Good for you. Good for
this
you.
Is what we do.
It actually does sing.
The
it's
name
a little
again
rushed.
Is Mr. Plow.
No, but I don't think Washington's teeth were made of wood.
No,
I
they weren't.
They were,
I was going
they were
with the
other
the old
people's
story.
Teeth.
Yes. It was made of other people's teeth.
Oh, I didn't need
possibly,
that information.
Possibly some horse teeth or goat teeth. In there.
What? Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. This is the worst revelation ever.
This has been pretty a disgusting podcast.
This whole thing. And
glad
never
I showed
once,
up at the end so I could participate just
once
a little bit.
Did I mention poop? Because Patrick was so used to, for years.
This was the podcast. No, <it's laughs>
okay, look, the myth of George Washington's, I've got the theme, it's presidential. The myth of George Washington's wooden chompers is endearing, but false. Washington had multiple sets of dentures. They were made of ivory, metal alloys, and most disturbingly, the teeth of other humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Look at that grill.
That's nice.
Hey, man.
I
guess it's...
Hey, man. Say, man. I do. I watch a TikTok. This guy's like, I can't play because he cusses. Like, go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead.
No, you tell your story. I'll come back.
No, it's all right.
No, Captain Interruption over
here. Oh,
no, I'm reading something. What people would do, poor people would sell their teeth to rich people to make dentures out of them.
Okay.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
Dude. I just assumed they took them from dead people, but okay.
No, there were people. That's what they would do. Now, you got them cheaper if it was from a dead person, but they were in better condition.
I don't know. Dead people's teeth. Like, who doesn't need some of that?
Mm-hmm. You know? That's right.
Oh.
That's right.
That's right.
So let's go back to Lincoln in the casket. What a weird podcast. Dee, I'm sorry.
Justice
I would
for
like
Mary
to hear your
Surratt.
Story. What?
Justice for Mary Surratt.
Yeah, she was hanged as one of the conspirators, but. There's really no proof that she actually had anything to do with the assassination.
Well,
oh,
she
is
was
that
the first
who,
woman that was killed.
Is that the lady who was at the farmhouse
yep,
or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and they sent Dr. Mudd.
Yeah, poor Mudd.
to he Samuel was in Mudd. Prison for years.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Samuel Mudd, they showed up at his house, the conspirators, including Booth, showed up at his house, and Booth had broken his leg when he jumped down to the stage.
Yeah.
So Dr. Mudd, he was a doctor. This guy, he set his leg. Like, that's what he did. That's what you do. You're a doctor. There's a sick person. You help him. They got him as part of the conspiracy.
Yep.
He went to jail. He was supposed to go to jail for life. He was eventually pardoned because there was like a cholera outbreak or yellow fever or something at the prison. And because he was a doctor, he helped save a bunch of people's
lives.
Did
he know that he
and
had,
they let him?
Did he know who Booth was?
No. There's no record that he had anything to do with the conspiracy. They just stopped at his house along the way, and he helped them because they needed help. He didn't know
what had happened.
And also, that's where the phrase, your name is Mudd, came from.
My name is Mudd.
Y'all, stop.
No, for real. When they say, your name is Mudd, like, you know, you've just slandered yourself. Mm-hmm. You've ruined yourself.
Yeah. And I believe the conspiracy, they stayed at Mary Surratt's boarding house, and there really wasn't any indication that she knew what these guys were doing other than offering them a place to room, because that's what you did back then. But she was hanged, and I think she was the first woman executed in America.
Did you know boarding houses were made of boards, which are made of wood?
Tell me something made of wood.
Yes.
All right, next hour.
Now, next up, hey, Garrett, can you name something made of wood? Get everybody involved, because we can't just have one or two of these.
And then... Okay. When we do
we
the
need
promotion.
The laundry list of people.
Yes.
The promotion.
Just keep reading names.
Well, during the day, we'll tell you that we're going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So, it gets
coming up in another 55 minutes, we're going to tell you one more thing that's made of wood.
Yeah. I've knocked on this counter, which
is 6 minutes past the hour, 54 minutes until we hit 8 o'clock. Tell me something.
Made of wood. Well, this has been great. Thank you.
Silverfish.
Yep. So we got a little Big Town that we're going to play for you. An interview.
It's a really fun interview.
Really, really
if you miss them on the show, they're amazing. And
Speaking of people with missing teeth. Mm,
oh, yes.
There may be
yes,
a story
it's
about
crazy,
that.
Crazy the things you're going to find out about one of your favorite bands coming up next. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Don't forget, like, subscribe, rate, give us all the best reviews on the planet, and spread the word. Share
Tell
us to
friends.
All your friends. Yay!
Yeah.
Social media, do whatever you got to do.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. That's okay,
because
you can listen to the regular show.
Yes. Toothpicks.
On the radio.
Toothpicks, man.
Every
yes,
day.
They are.
It was the podcast.
Those fancy little disposable forks they give you now instead of plastic ones. Those are
made
of
wood, yeah. Little Big Town in the studio. Hello, kiddos.
Hey. Good morning.
Hello.
Oh, wow. You guys are
Fine
something
fellows.
Else.
How are you?
Sorry.
We're good. Most people are always like, man, you guys are always so peppy in the morning. You guys are way peppy in the morning.
We woke up
sorry.
Early. No one cares.
We woke up early for...
And I've had a lot of coffee.
Yeah, I've been at Karen and Jimmy's house, and I
see how many trips I made?
Not that I was counting, but Jimmy refilled his coffee cup 3 times.
Good, good, dude. That's awesome. That's kind of
like
the way I do
morning.
It. That's the way I do it, though.
How do you do that? He does have
the
iron stomach.
Then I'll have another one around
4. The iron
He's always had the iron stomach.
Oh, you can't handle coffee?
No, I cannot.
He can't handle
anything. Jimmy can eat anything.
We, Phillip's on Ensure shakes.
And Pedialyte.
Can you,
yes.
Jimmy, can
and
you?
Crown.
And
Crown.
Pedialyte and Crown is really big what? Right
it's
now.
It's a great, it's, you know, it's the mystery of the universe.
It's a
right
balance,
now.
A total balance.
One time, we bet Bubba, or just dared him, if he would eat Vienna sausages, like straight out cold.
Oh, I used to do that.
We called them Vienna sausages.
Oh, it's Vienna. It's Viener.
Vienna wieners.
You didn't pronounce it right.
He stuck a straw in it and sucked the juice out.
My daddy drinks the juice out of Vienna sausages.
Straight
he
gelatin.
Eats the sausages
you know, I made a great cocktail with Vienna. No, I'm just kidding.
That's
that
the
disgusting?
Way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to drink the juice and you eat the little sausages.
They are so good, aren't they?
They are not.
Karen's like about to puke over here.
I hadn't had a Vienna sausage.
We need a trash can quick stat.
So, you know, I grew up, we didn't have a lot of money. So, like, we ate all the, you know, back when Spam was, like, cheap, because now it's not anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, we had Vienna sausages. We ate potted meat.
Potted
my dad,
meat.
Oh, yeah.
My dad, it was pate, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, he was like, we were fancy back then. But we also, I mean, we would eat things, like I said, Spam and all. But, like, Dee and Patrick tricked me one time. They were like, can you tell the difference between Spam and dog food?
Oh, I'm
like,
no.
Like, yeah. So they blindfolded me and I had to do a smell test. And then I agreed to eat the one that was
thought, that he thought was spam.
You thought was the spam?
No.
Was it not?
But every one of them was dog food.
That's terrible.
It was actually pretty good dog food. I don't know what brand, but it was pretty good. Yeah,
I think it's probably Old Roy.
It was
Mighty Dog.
I'm a Mighty Dog man.
It's a kind that comes out of the can and it's like.
And
it plops. It kind of jiggles a little bit.
You know, this is how you know you love people, because we still are friends. We're still good. You know?
I was like, we tend to do these kind of talks every time we get together.
Little Big Town has a new album out. Congratulations on that. And a new song. It's called Hell Yeah. They redid Montgomery Gentry. And so.
They have a song called Hell Yeah.
Way to go, Gus. By the way, I meant to tell you, I think I texted you about the Eagles thing. That was insane. The fact that you
Eagles
to be
thing?
On stage. Yeah, they went on. Well,
yeah, we toured with Eagles.
No big deal.
You know, over
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, just we're in Europe. No big thing.
Well, I knew. Well, you and I were talking about your time in Italy and how you did it right. Where you, dude, he did it right.
He did it right.
I enjoyed Italy.
Philip went to Italy and he bought friends. Like literally, he paid for concierge.
I did.
You know, tours and everything. And dude, you said it was amazing.
It was amazing. And we tacked it on the end of the trip with the Eagles. So I was like, this is just heaven.
Is it different? How different is a concert, like backstage, around, man, all that stuff? Is it different when you have a group like the Eagles?
It's like a morgue.
Except
that's what Don Henley said.
I'm using Don's own words.
Is it just totally like?
Don was kidding, but in an article he said, we don't drink anymore.
Yeah, you know,
we don't party at all, and so
partying. So.
And they're on lockdown, kind of, you know, because of COVID, and it's a little quiet back there.
We got there. Our first show was in Amsterdam, and we're excited, and we get to our dressing rooms, and we're
Jimmy
loud,
and I are really
and
loud,
cutting up, and then the next show we got moved to the other side of the stadium.
What? Y'all were too loud for them.
They were like.
I don't.
Quiet them down.
I don't think so.
Are y'all backstage going, hey, y'all going to do Hotel California? Today?
Yes.
Was it also weird doing shows at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
For the elderly?
Yes.
It does.
That's the only thing Don Henley said to me. He was like, what was it like?
He walked past us and he was like,
There's nothing cool about playing in the daylight or something like
that.
Yeah. I was just kidding. That was a thing?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. It was a thing.
It was they were in the daylight too. It was just. You know,
I was just making an old person joke.
No.
It
was the truth.
It doesn't get dark till like 10:30.
Oh,
wow.
It's crazy.
Oh. Yeah, so,
I got the joke, Bubba. I did get it. Little Big Town in the studio get a new album out. It's called Mr. Sun. This is, how long has it been? What's the last album was what?
Couple
2019.
Years. Yeah.
That was a great time to put an album out.
It was
2020.
Also a great time to put an album out. A lot of touring support.
The tour was going fabulously.
Yes, it was.
This is our 10th studio record.
Yeah.
10th?
That's crazy.
We didn't even know
that. A while.
You didn't know that?
I did know that. I'm just kidding.
I mean, that's a lot of albums, man.
It's a lot of albums.
I also want to commend you guys for staying friends and staying a band and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you have duos that can't stay together, and you're that times two. I mean, people break up all the time, and I know there's been disagreements and stuff like that. And obviously, I'm not going to ask what.
I don't know. Maybe it's the boots and the sparkly shoes that keep us together.
Is that what it is?
That's right.
But no, it's just that's a big deal. I mean. And I have had disagreements. I mean, nothing ever that put us at, you know, the odds of ending the show.
But I'll guess that you guys don't hang out much.
Not at all.
Karen and I don't.
We meet in the middle of the house for brunch.
You're on your wing. I'm on my wing.
Did you talk to the butler this morning?
The concierge
what
tour.
What do you guys fight about?
It's usually dumb stuff like I want to do something ridiculous, you know, like I'm always like, okay, so what we need to do is we'll bring these Navy SEALs in and they'll attack us on the air and show the weakness of our build, you know, and Big D's like,
what are you doing? Like overthinking.
Was that the response to the Tiger Woods?
I don't know. It's just like, I always come up with dumb ideas like, hey man, let's go with the Army Rangers and let's go parachute into whatever. And he's like, what are you doing? I have bad knees.
His latest idea was he wanted to have a parting pillow, And that is where we give guests a pillow, like a throw pillow, of our faces so they can put it on their bus.
He's not making this up. Here's my note I wrote myself.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you can get that idea. You can get that in a sequin, a flip sequin version, where you can flip one side just sequin and then you other flip the other side.
That's so brilliant.
One could be you and the other could be Big
Yes.
You.
I mean,
wouldn't that be great on the bus?
I love that.
Sequence flipping.
We would put one on our bus.
Oh, you got Bubba today. Oh, you get Big D today. You know, a parting pillow would be fun.
Who do you want to look at today?
See, we've never sold individual merch. Like at the table, we know that Kimberly would outsell all of us.
No, I would not.
So I like the idea of like being able to flip up and down.
Yeah. I don't want to know who got my pillow.
That would be expensive. You're right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's very expensive, and it's also very like egotistical. Like
it's also funny.
It's not
though.
Even egotistical. That's it's not funny. Funny. It's that's, like a dumb.
It's ridiculous.
Thing. This, but that's the kind of stuff we fight over. He's like, we're not spending money on that.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not us. That's the other show. We don't do. We're not going to give someone a face. Our face. Good Lord. All right.
Shots fired. His own face pillow.
Check out the new album. It's called Mr. Sun from Little Big Town, and also the touring dates as well. Just look up Little. I have no idea what is it. Littlebigtown.com.
littlebigtown.com.
I bet you
just
can
follow
find
on
it.
Social media.
I bet
too.
You can find them. I bet you can. I bet you can. Just good to see you guys. Thank you.
Good
too,
to see man. Y'all.
We love y'all.
Come back
y'all.
Anytime.
Stitch up
hey,
there.
Can we tell them the story?
Of what?
Or should we not?
They might be the only ones we could tell.
Yeah,
the story.
We can tell them.
Oh god.
Okay.
It's actually my story.
It is her story.
Please, you start.
But let me tell my side of it.
Yes, please. Okay.
Because we were opening up for Stevie Nicks at Jazz Fest, at Aspen Jazz Fest. And we were 15 minutes before stage because we were running late. Kimberly like doing makeup and everything
right.
In our little room, and our tour manager's already knocked on the door like, you guys got to come on. And then I hear something hit the ground, like just like a tiny little.
How's it go?
Clink.
I can't get my ring.
That's enough. Okay. And so I look over and she goes, Karen, look. And her front tooth is out.
Oh, no.
What?
Kimberly is fully glammed with gold heels on and hair. No. And
there's a fan blowing on her already, like Beyonce.
And
it wasn't her exact front one. It was the one next to her.
It was one right next to my front tooth. I have a bridge, and at the moment I have a temporary bridge, and then at that moment it fell out.
Oh, no. So you're hee-hawing it up.
Oh, yes.
Ellie Mae.
Like yes.
Ellie never seen.
And when I looked at Karen, she was like, okay. Okay.
She starts like shaking. She goes, I have a kit. I have an emergency kit that he gave me. I have an emergency kit. And so she's digging in her purse and she's shaking. And I'm going outside and I go get the boys and Taylor, our assistant, like right now, 911, go. And they took off.
I thought someone died.
I know. Yeah. Jimmy and I, we never get called like that.
911 to the
It was 911.
Dressing room right now.
So we get, but Kimberly and I can't stop laughing, even though we're very nervous.
Yeah, because the situation.
I'm right.
I mean, how are you going to perform? How are you going to sing in front of 15,000
people?
How
much time do you have at this point before the show?
10 minutes.
We went from 10 to 4. I was watching a YouTube tutorial video at 4 minutes before stage.
Now, this is fantastic. Philip has turned like beet red.
Oh, my goodness.
The pressure was unreal.
I said, I was like trying to keep Kimberly calm. I'm like, it's okay. It'll be fine.
So Karen Googled and found on YouTube a tutorial about this particular cement for your mouth.
You know how long those tutorials are, by the way? They're way too long. Just get to the point.
All tutorials are way too long.
But what was funny is she's like, open the packet. She's giving him, she's barking at orders. Okay, mix them together. Okay, get the stick. And
then, oh God, y'all JD weld this.
Our production manager like stuck his head in the door. He didn't know anything that was going on. And we've been starting the show with Al Green, Let's Stay Together, is like the roll walk-on music.
Right.
And he goes, 3 minutes to Al, and I said, oh, no, no, no.
And then I turned around and smiled at him. He's like, oh,
God.
Yeah, she'll just change the song to All I Want for Christmas. Yes.
Anyhow, maybe we built the story up too much.
No, but listen. But wait, there's more. Really funny. Philip put my tooth in upside down the first time.
So it was like the root was hanging.
I said, this doesn't look
that
right.
Something's a little different.
Something doesn't look right. Oh. Flip it up. And she was like, I was like, are you sure that goes that way? She was like, no, it goes this other way.
Could they not have buddied you like in Pure Country where they had you backlit or something and nobody would have ever seen you?
Oh, they buddied me like crazy during the moment.
We were trying to figure out. People were also thinking of like alternatives, like what if this doesn't go well?
I'm going to show y'all the video when we get done.
It dried like 3 minutes before we were walking to the stage.
Wow. And you could sing okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I was she praying sang and fantastic. I had a vodka.
She's like, Oh
my gosh.
Hey, there aren't many firsts for this band anymore after 20 years.
No. That's
not that was it. Although Phillip's tooth fell out on the way to the Grammys.
Yeah, in the limousine, on the way to the red carpet.
Do you guys brush your teeth?
Is there any part of you guys that are real?
It's spackle and duct tape, man.
Jeez.
And Vaseline, apparently.
All right, Little Big Town.
We're not telling anyone else that story, just y'all.
What story?
Yeah. What story?
Yeah. Go buy their album because they have.
Son.
They got so much plastic surgery to buy.
We have to pay dental bills. Yeah. Quick.
It's called Mr. Sun. Wow. Little Big Town. Hey, good luck to you guys.
A band that spackles together stays together.
Listen, I'm going
to
show you.
What's your
this.
Secret to staying it's, together so long?
Oh my gosh.
It's called spackle.
Yeah, that was one of the funniest and most frightening things.
It was.
Little Big Town orthodontics.
We got a problem with silverfish.